in this series of programs in the book of Revelation, we have come to the 13th chapter, and I've been showing you what is the meaning of this first beast of the 13th chapter of Revelation, that it is nothing more than the end time, modern, space-age resurrection of an ancient Roman Empire, this time to consist of 10 nations in Central Europe armed with nuclear weapons. And we have been looking at the spiritual, the religious, the philosophical underpinnings of it in the statement in verse 4 of the 13th chapter that shows the citizens of all of these 10 nations worshipped the dragon, and that's identified as Satan the devil himself, and his church, and he does have a church on this earth that masquerades as the Church of Christ, that has a great leader over it. And it says in verse 4, they not only worship the dragon, Satan the devil, of course they might do that in symbolism and sometimes in deception and not even know that they're doing it, which gave power unto the beast. And it says they worship the beast, and the beast is that government. The beast is that military dictatorship that will hold sway over those 10 nations and is symbolized by the one great super dictator who will be a king, or perhaps a general, or perhaps a Führer, or a premier, or prime minister, or a president. I don't know what title he will actually appropriate to himself, but he will be the fulfillment of the biblical symbol of the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Now, we had a brief type of this in the early successes, if that's what they can be called, of the Third Reich under Adolf Hitler and all of his generals. That was exactly what Rudolf Hess said before the screaming mobs in Nuremberg and elsewhere, where they had the huge big public rallies, and Hess would come out and scream by torchlight to hundreds of thousands of jackbooted Nazis and say, Deutschland ist Hitler, Hitler ist Deutschland, Germany is Hitler, and Hitler is Germany, so that the man embodied the very state itself, and people were certainly worshiping that man. I've got books in my collection, pictures, some of them produced by the Nazi government themselves, and it shows women absolutely transfixed, I mean, with a glazed-eyed adulation on their faces as they adored that man, Adolf Hitler, who was looked upon as a savior by the German people. And they worship the military aspect of that organization because it says, who is able to make war with him? And that's exactly what they said when in a matter of days or weeks, Hitler's juggernauts rolled over so much of Europe, and it seemed nothing could stand in their way. And it says in verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. So this spokesman that speaks in the name of this beast is again the so-called false prophet, or the leader of the great religious organization that will give its best offices to the organization. Now, some have seen in this the miry clay of the prophecy of Daniel, the second chapter, and the 10 toes of the great image that is clearly a prophecy of the 4 successive world-ruling empires from ancient history, ancient Babylon, on down all the way to the Persian Empire, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, the final Roman Empire with its many successive revivals until this end-time revival of the same system, but this time modern nations armed with modern weapons. And some have seen the iron mixed with miry clay. That was the composition of the 10 toes of the great image of Daniel, the second chapter. They have seen the miry clay as the spiritual or the religious element. And they have seen in the prophecy where it says it will cling together only a very short time and then be destroyed by the conquering, returning Jesus Christ, who smashes the image on those 10 toes, on its feet, on the same 10 toes that depict the 10 nations of the coming United States of Europe. They see the miry clay as religious doctrine, religious fanaticism, the best offices of a great universal religious organization, which will hold the whole entity together, but only for a very short time. Maybe that's a correct assessment of the clay, even as it says iron is not mixed with miry clay. It's not a good mixture. And it says in the 18th chapter, and the very last verse, of course, of the 17th chapter of Revelation, as we will see when we come to it, that the beast shall hate the whore and make her desolate, that eventually tremendous military reverses, the loss of a great end-time global struggle involving nuclear weapons by this great power that will emerge so suddenly on the scene in Europe, is going to so outrage the leaders of those 10 nations, they will turn upon the very church that originally helped them to meld the whole organization together. And the Bible says the beast shall hate the whore and make her desolate. And then is going to come martyrdoms and assassinations of religious people unparalleled in world history. So that is the way Almighty God says, if you want to study the 18th chapter of Revelation, that this great whore, as she is called in biblical prophecy, or a great universal fallen church with a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, is finally going to get her comeuppance. She is identified in the 47th chapter of Isaiah and in the book of Revelation as that great church which actually persecuted and martyred the true saints and the true converted Christians of God. And God says through the voice of angels in that prophecy, "Righteous and holy art thou, O Lord eternal, because you have judged thus. They have shed the blood of prophets and righteous and the saints of the earth, and you have given them blood to drink." And you read that chapter, it's a grisly, a bloody chapter of the Bible, the 18th chapter of Revelation, but it says that the angels praise God because of the incredible justice that is going to be handed down to that great church organization when the very nations she fostered and sponsored and toward whom she was the mentor turn upon her and destroy her down near the time of the second coming of Christ. Revelation 13:5. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear."